Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening. Coming up next, I'm going to be talking about Conor McGregor and all that kind of stuff. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about the sugar tax and all that kind of good stuff. Coming up next, we're going to have all your gardening questions and all that kind of stuff. Coming up next, I'm going to be talking to Seán Moncrief and all that kind of stuff. Look, the reality of it is...
Okay, there's me schooled in the things that I say over and over again. But earlier on this week, we got some texts in about certain crutch words and phrases that are overused by guests on the radio and indeed presenters on the radio too. Things like robust and issues and kicking the can down the road were mentioned. And there are lots of other words and phrases that are overused and that we do rely on, you know, in general conversation to segue from one topic to another or just to stall while we try and catch up on our train of thought. Let me know for a start at 53106 what ones annoy you, and lots of you are. Someone says here, Ciara, you should use good stuff, etc., to donate €5 to a homeless charity every time you say it. That would be good, but I would be probably quite broke. But joining me now in studio to discuss this and our overuse of certain words and phrases is Owen McDermott, who should know a thing or two about all this kind of stuff because he is the director of the Communications Clinic in Dublin. Owen, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Ciara.
Do we make mistakes a lot? People like myself, but other people too, in conversation, and if you're given a public talk or whatever, by using the same expressions over and over again.
Yeah, partly that comes from perhaps at times a lack of preparation, a proper preparation in terms of, if we look at a presentation, typically words will be repeated and stock words will be go to if the person delivering the presentation isn't what we would call verbally familiar with their presentation, having walked through it. So sometimes those phrases can be used as part of a lack of comfort or familiarity. Sometimes it's a lack of certainty with the setting. Often people, through nerves, whether it's in a job interview or in a presentation or in a media interview, will reach for stock phrases that they'll come through. And I think partly, and the quick fix for those, is actually that they get comfortable with those settings, whether that's dry runs with friends or family and getting comfortable with them. I think those ones where it's either a lack of prep or a discomfort are easy to fix. It's where they're a habit and that they have become a formal part of your speech pattern.
I wonder, do I need to hire you? Do you think I do?
Well, you have a team outside who are listening carefully and thousands of people who are going to keep you right, and that's part of it. You're also lucky that people told you. Often where we spot verbal tics or repetitive phrases in people, we actually don't tell them that they're doing it. We'll remember that we probably all were in school with a teacher who had a repetitive phrase. People sit through presentations, as we've mentioned, where the presenter will have these and people will count them and come through, and very rarely do we pull them aside and say, listen here, you have this tic. And that unpicking is actually the difficult part.
Are there sometimes things that we almost are imitating in other people because we've heard other people say it? Like Thomas and Sligo says basically and going forward are two of the most overused words or phrases. Like there are things that, you know, kind of fallback positions. Pat Rabbit was in earlier on with Pat Kenny, and he says when a politician is asked a question, in order to stall while they think of the answer, they go, ah, sure, well. And then they answer the question because they're actually thinking.
And some of those are thinking phrases. I think some also are parlance of the tribe, that there is an element of it that is seepage from the industry. So I started noticing going forward about 15 years ago in the banking sector, and then we begin to see it kind of spreading like a virus across everything, and we see it coming through. I think there's those where the parlance, for example, not to be disparaging against your listeners in Cork, there would be a belief that people in Cork finish most sentences with like. Now, if you're in that tribe and if you're in Cork, that's probably okay because that's how the tribe are interacting. It's where you spread it and go further and people are listening saying, what's the crack with this like thing coming
and
in?
And is language kind of contagious? Because somebody has texted in and said, good stuff is very overused on News Talk, especially by, sorry about this, but Shane Coleman and now Paul Williams copying him drives me crazy. Apparently I use good stuff and apparently Ivan uses good stuff as well. So apparently we're all falling back onto things.
Are we catching it from each other?
Of course. And we will tend to, if you look again, good communication is using terms and expressions that your audience or your colleagues or your friends will be able to appreciate. So there then can be, and you would probably see it in some families as well, where there are common phrases that would get used by that family. There isn't akin to that happening here. And I think what is required, though, is that being caught out and being told about it, that you can begin to break that habit. Because they figure if you're speaking almost continually for a couple of hours a day and then outside of the show, you know, you're using these phrases quite frequently. A guy called Maxwell Maltz back in the 40s figured it took about 21 days to develop a habit. A university in London figure now it's actually around more 66 days. So if you're trying to unpick using stuff like that or good stuff or and so on and so forth or whatever they may be, you actually have to work on it.
You'd want to be fairly robust, to use another one of those words, to be, because everyone is telling me about all the things I say. Someone says, Kira, you say new and news talk. You don't say new and news talk, which I've been accused of before. So I think that's probably true. All of you guys, Adrian says, in news talk, use the word though over and over again, totally out of context. The word is a conjunctive and therefore should not be used at the beginning or at the end of a sentence. Kay says, why do young people start every sentence with so?
Yeah, that's actually the so tense. I would blame the tech sector for that, where so seemed to become the parlance of that tribe, where there tended to be sentences that began with so. Again, that's a very difficult thing to unpick. I'm probably going to start using so at the start of most of my sentences now. It is being able to spot it and break that habit. It takes a lot of time. I would encourage people, if they find that they have a go-to phrase like that, is to almost have a swear jar, like and a so jar or an jar.
John in Dublin says, Miriam McCallaghan with genuinely, I suppose we all are, and of course I think,
yeah, but
you know,
you'll notice she doesn't use it anymore.
Well, I think that was because she got quite the kicking from poor old Miriam.
Yeah.
But she probably was totally unaware of saying genuinely,
totally.
And she does say it a lot, so you can obviously learn to stop saying it.
Oh yeah, like, and I work with clients where over a period of time you can stop it. Part of it is maybe a public embarrassment. Part of it might be a boss who's told you you will not progress if this continues, because at the level we're hoping you to be at, you can't have repetitive phrases that could perhaps distract your audience. There are those incentives in it for people to change their behaviour. But like any change of behaviour, it actually takes work, practice and hard work. So I'd often meet people who'll say, oh yeah, I'm a bit of an emmer. You know, that's no excuse. You should work on it and improve it.
Someone else says, I say and a lot. That's very annoying, apparently. I didn't know I did, but you know, I believe you. I have no reason to think you're lying to me. Someone says, look, so yeah, amazing and hilarious are really annoying words.
These are all ones that are beginning to creep in. Again, could be back to the media consumption that a lot of people have. You mentioned,
I heard
South County Dublin. There would be people might make disparaging remarks about young people from South County Dublin that they would tend to use like, for example, in some of those sentences. Again, that's that tribe using them, which may be okay within that. But when they move outside of the confines of D4, they actually have to begin to interact, say, for instance, in the business place, some of those words become issues.
David says, Ivan Yates says, in relation to, constantly, although I love him and I love the show. So that
this is a great chance for your listeners to tell you what they really think.
I know, this is unbelievable what we're getting back here. Someone says, in terms of, drives me nuts. I blame Micheál Martin, who I think started the trend years ago. Every discourse nowadays uses it to excess. And someone says, Kira, I'm going out of my gourd with the like affliction. Twice this week, authentic Americans drove me from the upstairs of the, I don't know if they are actually authentic, I think he's slagging them, from the 46A and the 39A bus. Oh my God, get me a drink. Are there phrases that become fashionable that we kind of adopt? Conflation, somebody mentioned there on the text line too. A lot of people talk about things being conflated nowadays.
Yeah, there tends
makes us sound clever.
There tends to be those buzzwords or words, again, no more than what you would have mentioned around, let's say, for example, going forward, that people spot it and say, I think that kind of sounds pretty good. I'll use it. And then when everybody starts using it, it's like where, for example, maybe for instance, about 5 or 10 years ago, politicians started saying, I'm glad you asked me that question. And everybody started saying, hang on a second, you know, what are they doing here? And then we all began to learn it was a stalling device for them to begin to think it. So using these phrases, and there I use so at the start of my sentence, so I'm sure you're going to start getting some text in there, but it is beginning to get into the habit of tracking your speech pattern and then trying to consciously work on it.
Babo says, Kira, please get everyone to stop saying really, really, because it's really, really annoying. The thing about what you just said there, and you said, like, once you start to recognise it, you can work on it, but then you start second guessing yourself, and it's very hard to flow naturally in chats if you're kind of constantly, you know, questioning if you've used the right expression or what have you.
Agreed, absolutely.
Or what have you is probably one of them.
Well, for instance, you're right, it is very, very difficult, and it is painful, and it is frustrating, and it's hard work. And but because it is a habit, oh, it can be done. For example, there is somebody I had worked with who was sent to me because they were using right and so in their speech pattern and their boss wasn't happy. It took us about 6 weeks to unpick that and it worked. But the person who I was working with co-opt their wife, their children to catch them
everybody.
Out. If you see me saying this word, catch me. To your or to the texter who texted in about people saying really, really, any of those kind of weak intensifiers, really awesome, all of that can be great on people where we might see things like, again, future plans coming through. Through or going forward,
yeah.
Whereas tautologists, where people are unnecessarily using repetitive phrases, all of those are
tons
issues.
Tons of people talking about the fact that we use the words literally, categorically, and ironically incorrectly.
Well, there is a was a Twitter account for the football pundit Jamie Redknapp who would use literally incorrectly. So, for example, he's literally on fire out there, or balls literally exploding off his foot. So again,
literally.
And that happened on a Sunday. Every Sunday, I think he's managed to get out of the habit of using that word.
We do have one of our listeners on the line. Damien is there. Now, Damien, what do you think about our overuse of certain words or expressions? I'm sure I'm quite clearly from this set of texts very prone to doing it myself.
Yes, Dr. Ciara. Well, no, you're not tiresome in any way, but I found myself getting off a bus yesterday because I couldn't take any more of like upstairs on the bus. So
like.
I went for a good walk.
Was there a lot of likes like?
Just interminable.
Were these Cork likes or were they American likes?
No, I don't mind a Cork like at all because it's colloquial and it's not acquired. I think it's perfectly natural. But some of our American friends are over around Belfield, so it's become just unbearable with oh my gods interspersed.
And is it really annoying? Was it that annoying you had to get off the bus?
I had to. If I'd been counting, I think I would have got to about 60 likes. So
you started counting them.
Evacuated.
That's brilliant. I said you started counting them. That's just brilliant.
Well, if I had counted them, but I know I'd certainly been up. I'm only concentrating on one person who was doing most of the talking, but between the two, certainly it was way over 50.
Wow. Okay. 2 per sentence,
or maybe 3 every 10 seconds.
All right. Look, thank you. Thank you for that. Thanks for getting in touch, Damien. I suppose lastly, Owen, one of the reasons, particularly young people, and they are often young people, the teenagers and all, use things like, is a kind of an insecurity, isn't it? That they're trying to fit in, they're trying to almost mirror each other because they're at a stage in life when they're not confident.
Yeah, I think there can be part of that. It was said of Oliver Goldsmith, the novelist, in terms of his, but in relation to his conversation, that he would often get on without knowing where he was going to get off. I think there's an element to that where people just start talking and haven't figured out what their destination is. I think as well, partly technology is disrupting younger people's capacity to verbally communicate one-to-one, and it being a skill that we need to work on and think about and actually develop. If we're on our phones texting a message, it removes that face-to-face, which is crucially important.
All right, thank you so much. That is Owen McDermott, their director of the Communications Clinic, about the words that we overuse. And I'll leave you with this one. It says, tons is continually used by a certain Miss Kelly and totally out of context.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.